Welcome to the Brave Way Podcast. I'm your host, LaVell Miller. This podcast, I'll be covering this ongoing topic of betting in the UFC, covering mixed martial arts in general, and my thoughts on what is happening. Remember, like, comment, subscribe, share this around, and let's get started. Betting in mixed martial arts is something that has happened for years, but in recent years, betting has been expanded to multiple states, so you don't have to live in the Las Vegas area to be able to place bets on any of your favorite fighters. Because of this, you have an influx of people, such as myself, who take the time and speak about odds of for fighters, who do they will win, and the probability around that. You know, before betting was allowed to happen in different states, what was the real reason to do this as a individual? Not much, because you would have a limited amount of people who'll be listening to your content. And I can admit, when I speak about betting odds, my content related around that tends to spike. Now, this podcast won't be covering betting odds as in with the traditional sense. It'll just be odd betting. So what do you think I'm talking about? So if you follow mixed martial arts, a growing story that is going on is covering James Krause's student, Derek Minner, against his opponent that I unfortunately won't be able to say his name. It's like Shailan Nurudinbek. 100% sure I butchered that. When they competed back in November. Now, this is off the heels of another situation that was already interesting, and that was TJ Dillashaw versus Aljamain Sterling. Now, if you don't know about that fight, or you forgot, or just bring this up in case in general, as time has passed, TJ Dillashaw, when he fought Aljamain Sterling, he went in there with a severe shoulder injury. So severe that he had admitted after the fight that it had popped out over 20 times in camp, but he did not want to pull out of the fight. Now, of course, this is a problem, because it means what? The betting lines had TJ as a favorite for certain sports books to win this fight. And if you are in the know, you knew TJ was going in there compromised, and the likelihood of him beating Aljamain Sterling, the current bantamweight champion, was zero to none. We're talking about elite level fighters here. So if you needed to make a quick buck, you could just bet the entire house on Aljo to win. Doesn't matter if it was decision. Doesn't matter if it was straight up. You knew there was no way that TJ was going to win unless the first strike he threw just happened to knock Aljo out. Well, in the case of that fight, the first strike he threw was a body kick. Aljo caught it. TJ decided to try to plant with that same injured arm. His shoulder popped out right from there, and the writing was already on the wall. Now, it's interesting enough that that fight wasn't talked about as being as shady, mainly due to the lines didn't really swing the way the aforementioned fight had. But different MMA podcasts and different journalists covering the sport had great takes about the situation, because like I alluded to, if I am in the corner, now TJ is a little bit different than other fighters. He has his own private camp. Everybody with him is flown in, NDAs are signed, and he's not just training with the person who is the accountant for a banking firm downtown. He's training with the elites of elites, and they are doing their best to keep each other safe, right? So you don't have to really wonder if somebody from the outside is going to come in and end up leaking any of this information out. But that doesn't mean that anybody on his team can't take advantage of the information that they are already aware of. So when it goes back to this Derek Minner and Shaylin Enns fight, why it was odd is, so Shaylin was already a 2-1 favorite over Derek Minner. A couple hours before the fight took place, the betting lines shifted drastically, moving him to a 4-1 favorite, and a lot of the money was actually put on Shaylin to win in the first round by TKO. That is what sparked a lot of interest in this, because betting lines normally don't shift for a fight that isn't that high on the card. There's no major stakes here. So it's not just like all of a sudden the main event's about to occur and then people are like, let's throw this money on this fight. So because of that, a U.S. Based in betting integrity firm decided they wanted to investigate what's going on. That is still ongoing. There has no been decision that is made since then. Now, as we go back to focus on what's going on with Derek Minner, his coach is James Krause. This is why it gets interesting. For you guys that didn't know, James Krause had his own YouTube page, and he also did it on Twitch, I do believe, called the 1%ers betting club or something like that. Don't necessarily remember because James has taken all of that content down. So when, and might as well preface this in the fight, what ended up happening is Derek Minner, his first strike he ended up throwing, or the first strike that he threw with intent was a leg kick, body kick. As soon as he threw the body kick, he grabbed his knee, grimaced in pain, fell down, and then Shaylin ended up winning a fight by TKO. James Krause's gym isn't one, like I mentioned, like TJ Dillashaw, that is just private. It's not saying that they don't have private training and stuff like that going on, where it's like a lot of gyms, if you haven't been in them, they have a competition class, invite-only class, where they bring in people who actually are going to push the people to get them where they need to be, and they have the skill level to make it actually count. So it's not saying that James's team doesn't have any of that stuff, but it's not just a typical private gym at this point. So when you have betting lines swing that fast, it brings a lot of red flags. Of course, when it comes to integrity, James would not be speaking on his actual fighters and their opponents, besides, of course, more than likely saying that they were going to win. Because if he was to say his member of his team was going to lose, that would send off all the bells and whistles that something isn't right, because you're supposed to be training them to win. And if you're saying that they're going to lose, they're obviously hiding and some type of injury, something odd like that. Well, within that, yesterday, because this is why I've been waiting to do this, because I wanted to try to get as much information as possible before I dropped anything about this, especially because of the other content I'm currently creating. But things have been changing over the past 24 hours that I figured I had to jump on it. So To quickly finish covering what I was just saying, with James Krause being the head coach of Derek Minner and him also having a betting podcast, something must have happened, I assume, in the back before he came out, where somebody realized he was having issues, maybe standing, throwing kicks, or anything like that. And somebody within that circle texted out to people and said, hey, Derek's going to lose. His leg, he has a bum leg. He's not going to win. And then stuff takes off like wildfire. People start putting large amount of money on certain fighters. That's how these betting lines change relatively quickly. Now, This was back in November. So obviously times has been is going on. It's been almost a month now. But yesterday, Ontario banned the UFC from or banned UFC bets rather from occurring. They do this because they say that the UFC, this is a quote from ESPN staff writer David Pernum that he got, or per diem, however you say his last name, to the Alcohol and Gaming Commission of Ontario, said to stop offering and accepting wagering bets on the UFC due to non-compliance with the AGCO's betting integrity requirements. They are the governing body that oversees the betting that is happening in Ontario. And it says, in another specific statement that they made, it says the UFC does not prohibit all insiders from betting on UFC events, which can include athletes, coach, managers, handlers, athletic trainers, medical professionals, or other persons with access to non-public information. So, what does that sound like to you all? If the UFC is willingly doesn't have anything in place, like if we want to go back to Calvin Ridley, right? If we remember him, if you guys follow the NFL or the NFL, when he made a bet on the Falcons to win, even though he picked them to win and they did lose, NFL has a policy where players cannot bet on their teams or the sports outcomes, things like that. Further back, look at Pete Rose, bet against baseball, the reason why he's not in the Hall of Fame. Right, there's things that people put in place because they want to keep the integrity of the sport sacred. An interesting turn of events in boxing, you can bet on yourself in boxing, however, you can only bet on yourself straight. Floyd Mayweather has routinely did this. You cannot decide, just you cannot say you're going to win by knockout, you cannot say what round you're going to win, but you can bet on yourself straight up. And if you, and in some weird ways, there are certain circumstances where they will let you bet after a certain duration of the fight had taken place, which kind of seems kind of odd because you can drag somebody around to get the win, but there's a lot of things that can happen in the interim that can make it where it's not so. So, with the UFC not allow or not prohibiting, and for this to just to come out, because like I said, betting has been around in a lot of places for decades at this point. And for the issue with James Krause's team to come up to say, oh, well, we've really realized that the UFC doesn't have a policy that prohibits any of the people involved with a fighter to bet on the outcome of a fight is kind of alarming. I'm not gonna say too much alarming, except for if it was kind of in the opposite. Because, like I said, if I could see it with boxing, if I was a John Jones, if I'm a John Jones and I'm a John Jones coach, if I bet John Jones to win straight up, I don't think that there's something be should be anything particularly wrong with betting John Jones to win. However, I could understand where you could say, yeah, because you're betting on John Jones to win because you paid the other person to survive. Or maybe you do let them just get knocked out or whatever the case may be. So that is kind of, it's kind of odd they don't have it in place. But this goes back to the fact that you guys, if you do not know this, fighters are considered independent contractors. So the UFC is very weird on things that they want to prohibit being said, or put in contract or makes any individual signs. There is a current labor lawsuit going on with them. It's been going on actually for that for over a decade. So it'd be far and few between before they would ever really say that you couldn't do X, Y, or Z. So getting to the back of the point. So that was the first thing. It's like, well, Ontario said it. Then I actually saw a prior to Ontario doing it, The state of New Jersey also did the same thing, as they said that they would no longer, that was November 19th. So this was even faster when they said that they would no longer allow betting on any fight that James Krause was involved with, which includes him being the coach in the corner, him being the trainer for the fighter, him being involved for any promotions, or the fighter itself. If I didn't specifically say that. So the plot is continuously thickening. Today, the UFC had announced that they had, because not only the Nevada State Athletic Commission had suspended his license, so James Krause can no longer be a coach, and I'm assuming he hasn't fought since 2020. I'm assuming that he said he's retired anyway, but they have also may have bought banned his fight like coaching and fighter's license. Well, it'd be a corner license rather, not coaching, not ability to coach, but the corner license. The UFC has also released Derek Minner from the organization. It was said today from a direct quote from them that weeks prior to the weeks prior to the Minner fight, the UFC sent a formal notification to all fighters and the members of the team saying that they were defined as insiders and prohibited from wagering on UFC events. The interesting thing about that is, if you remember what I just said, is Ontario said yesterday that the UFC did not have that policy. So if the UFC didn't have a, because they say it was part of their updated fighters code of conduct, which is a topic for another day, because the UFC doesn't actually adhere to it due to other reasons that I mentioned earlier about are they the labor disputes, or are they employees, or are they independent contractors. They have that weird wonky thing there. But if for the UFC to say that, it's like, eh, it's kind of weird for you to say, yeah, we told people weeks ago that you couldn't do that, but why is it going on? So with James Krause also being losing his corner's license and the UFC's releasing Derek Minner, the UFC has also said that any fighter that is coached by James Krause will also no longer be allowed to fight in the UFC. Specifically saying this: fighters who continue or choose to continue to be coached by Krause or continue to train at his gym will not be permitted to participate in the UFC events pending the outcome of the aforementioned government investigations. Essentially means, which is very interesting. The person of note that's still on the team right now would be Brandon Moreno, who is the current interim flyweight champion. So now he is having to find a new coach after he has recently departed from his team that was down there in Mexico. I know I've pretty much given a lot of like the meat and potatoes of like everything that's going on. Some an interesting take that I've seen when it's come to this rather, is fighters being underpaid. And so since fighters are underpaid, they'd be willing to do anything they could to make their money stretch. I cannot remember off the top of my head, but you can look it up. There was a UFC fighter. I believe he's not a main guy. He's not some no household name, so you could have difficulties finding him. But he bet his entire purse that he was going to win his fight. Now, once again, just this, remember the things I've said in this conversation so far. The UFC said you couldn't make any bets because you're considered an insider. However, this was years ago that he did this. Matter of fact, let me try to look it up for you real fast. See, fighter bets. on himself. So, Justin James is his name. So, quickly, very quickly, on the, very quickly on a fighter's being able to bet on himself, an old Bleacher's Report had said prior to, so this report I'm reading is dated October 17th, but prior to this amendment, as it said, the UFC had allowed fighters to bet on themselves on the old rules. So June of 21, of the most recent person that is of note that have said this is, his name was Justin James. He wagered his entire fact check, and he lost a split decision. And this is what caused the UFC to go ahead and look at trying to make the first change with Hunter Campbell, their chief business officer. Because when you came out and said this, it messes with the integrity of the entire sport. If you're a fighter, and let's say you're on a losing streak. For you guys that don't know, when it comes to the UFC, you get your show and win. Very common in a lot of mixed martial arts organizations that your show is, you've made the weight, you've made the walk, you're going to get this certain amount of money, you win the fight, you get additional on top. A lot of top fighters don't have to worry about show and win anymore. They just get a net amount for competing anyway. Champion level fighters end up getting pay-per-view points on top of it if you're fighting for a belt, right? That would be the champion and the person that they are competing against, depending on their level of fame. It's very wonky. It goes through the weeds, but that's how they have done it for years. So, with that being the case, if I am a fighter and I am popular, or not popular, but if I'm a fighter and maybe I'm going through some things, I won't cover these other fighters' businesses, but there was a fighter who had a child who was going through a very traumatic experience. And that's the reason why this fighter had pulled out of certain fights. You could tell the emotion itself wasn't there because you were fighting just to get a check to make sure you take care of your child. If I announce prior to the fight, which Justin did, if I announce prior to the fight, especially the level opponent that he was fighting, the opponent he was fighting should have clearly beaten him, in my opinion. It shouldn't have been a split. That I am in a down bad situation. I am having to bet my entire purse on myself just to double and triple up to make me in good standings, put me where it is I need to be. That causes a lot of problems. If you are a nice person, you may say, I don't want this guy to lose everything that he has because of me. And so, yeah, you don't get knocked out. You just do what you got to do to make it, make him look good and give him the win. You know, that's where some of these issues transpire. But if I want to really dig into it a lot more, I strongly feel that James Krause deserves to be punished. Of course, he's spoken about doing this many times over the years about placing bets on fights. I don't see how you could be a coach and do this because there's another integrity issue that comes into play. Let's say you fly out somebody for whatever purposes to train with your guy, and then you realize this guy ain't got no jiu-jitsu. He don't have any wrestling, or his striking isn't as good as you think it is because you got some recreational people that are there giving him the business. And then you end up sharing that information with somebody else. You know, there's quite often, I mean, even here locally where I live, where people go to different gyms just to get different feels of different bodies. Like I look at it as when I wrestled, for example, we would know if we go against competing against a certain school, that was a cradle team. They're going to only do these certain type of cradles. We go to them, they're a tilt team. This team, they're good on the fundamentals. And the reason why, which is, you know, basic single, double leg, wrist and half, etc. And the reason why I bring that type of stuff up is that, yeah, it could be common knowledge that it's all known and you could train against it or whatever. But in high school, you can't make no money. People probably do, you know, whatever shady bets in the barbershop, but you're not making any money. You're not telling these people these people are injured and stuff like that. And because this isn't a team sport in the sense of football, baseball, basketball. With these other sports, you have to put players on injury reports. You have to be like as close as transparent as possible if this person is going to play or not. So that way it can appropriately affect the betting lines as they're showing up. So people already know this. Like, yes, there's freak things that happen that you could say, oh, this quarterback is going to play and then he ate his pregame meal, got food poisoning, and can't play. Yes, those are weird things like that that does happen. But you can't let somebody who is walking around on a boot all day long, all week long, and nothing to actually verify that they're injured, and then they play Sunday because they were on the injury report, people won't just let that type of stuff go. You have all these reporters reporting on the injury, verifying that this person's getting treatment or anything, and just let's see what happens. I mean, for years, you know, just as another quick example, you know, they used to say Tom Brady was on the questionable listed on the injury report when he played for the Patriots. So he came out every Sunday. But even though he came out every Sunday, and yes, he was listed as questionable, and maybe or maybe not, he was actually injured, the information was there. You were able to make a decision based off of that injury. When you have a fighter who's going to a fight, like TJ Dillashaw, like Derek Minner, and I'll talk about that a little bit too in a second, but when you have those individuals getting ready to go out to compete and they're injured and I done put my $20, $30, $40 on it, I am believing, and of course you can say, well, bets are risky. Yes, they are. But I'm making a bet in good faith that I believe this fighter could win because I don't think he has any injuries. I don't think, or any injuries that are significant enough that it's going to impact his performance, right? That's where a lot of these differences are. And when you have these close-knit teams that you could hide these type of injury, or not hide these injuries, but don't tell anybody anything, and they're just able to walk off to the next person, that's where these problems are lying. And it goes really into deep detail. If we want to really get into it, whose fault is it at first is, it goes with the state athletic commissions. Why is it the state athletic commission's fault? You're supposed to be doing the checks on these people. If Derek Minner had a compromised knee during the week he flew in, so as a person who has done amateur fights, yes, we don't get the best direct, like seeing what's going on with your medicals or whatever, but you still have a pre-fight medical exam the day of the fight. I know some people who have said they've done signing up for pro events, that they have to do stuff on that Friday, and it trickles all the way down to the end of the week. A lot of that stuff is, of course, dependent on the athletic commission. But if they are doing their test the right way, Now, yes, fighters are going to lie. And if you have 40 people to see, you may not take the correct time to verify that all these people are saying is true. But when you have somebody like Michael Bisping, who's pretty much legally, well, is legally blind and has left eye, I believe it is, and he was legally blind since he had lost to Vitor Belfort when he was head kicked and his orbital was fractured. And you keep passing the eye exam? What are we doing? He's literally going in and not being able to see, which is a first. Whoops, sorry about that. Don't know where that loud noise came from. But when we are saying, like I said, Michael Bisping, he's going out there, it makes his accomplishments look a lot more impressive, but you shouldn't have been able to fight. TJ Dillashaw having a bum shoulder shouldn't have been able to fight. When Conor McGregor broke his leg fighting Dustin Poirier, he shouldn't have been able to fight. And the reason why I'm saying that is Conor said, "Oh yeah, I had injured, had some type of weird stress fracture, ankle thing, a couple weeks prior to the fight. Why are you fighting?" Like, I'm not talking about the people who had like broken toes and things like that. And I've competed with these things. I've looked at my toes and I could tell that they were broken. Like something was off with them. I'm not talking about things like that, but we're talking about legit ankle, shin, knee, elbow, shoulder, qu bigger quality of life limbs injured, and then you still were able to compete because you're able to hide your injuries, and we're supposed to just act like that is okay? It's the farthest thing from being okay. So if we really want to do what we need to do when it comes to like trying to make some stuff, the integrity a whole lot better, let's start with the athletic commissions. Start by doing your actual check, being like, "Look, Derek, let me do some wiggling around your knee." "No, your knee is trash. You're done. You're not fighting." "Hey, Connor, your ankle's actually trash. You're done. You're fighting." And of course, everything's going to go back to, "Well, you know, I'm taking food off of people's plates and I'm doing all this other stuff." But if you can't prove, which is, this is why this podcast could be dated. Some more stuff could be coming out that I have not got to yet. James Krause could be found that he didn't do anything shady. But if James Krause is, of course, he's letting his fighter going out there because he's injured, and he probably needs that extra check. And James Krause also gets a cut of that as a coach and blah, 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 blah. We need to ask ourselves, what are we doing here? You could stop the betting, but what's really stopping the betting? When you look at it as, like, we talk about these insiders, you're only talking about the people that they're training with and their coaches and the embedded videographers and stuff like that. That's who you're talking about. You're not talking about the dude in the barbershop that cuts his hair that tells him something's off. You ain't talking about the guy who's out walking his dog and then he sees X fighter trip over his own feet and fall and scrape himself up and limping and sharing that information around. So a lot of this stuff is happening way before the fighter actually even gets to the event or to the cage. Like, they should be doing everything they need to do, the weight checks prior to early, the actual legit medical screenings. I guarantee if you did those medical screenings like you should, you wouldn't have this situation with Derek Minner going out there with a bum leg, or have TJ Dillashaw going out there with a bum shoulder. That's one of the most tiring things I ever hear, is these fighters getting in the fights and then after they're in the fights, going around saying, "Well, you know, I had these things wrong with me. Athletic Commission didn't find it, so I guess it's okay, but I'll use it as an excuse." You done, how many other people have you screwed out of money? Think about everybody who put in money on TJ Dillashaw and didn't know his shoulder was trash. Which goes back to, like I said, when you, yes, betting is risky, but when you're putting your money on a fighter, you're going in there believing they're going to win, and they are decently healthy enough to win, not injured. So I'm sure I'm going to end up covering this a whole lot more. Just wanted to give you guys some insight on how I feel about the event and just quickly cover the recent changes that have happened with that. So remember, you could get some more here as this stuff is has changed. Remember, like, comment, subscribe, share this around. This is how you become legendary and greatness is earned.